The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the very presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of heaven without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. I speak to you in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. All of us should know more about Nicodemus. As Bible characters go, I'm going to bet he's not one that you might be at the top of your list in terms of knowledge. He doesn't show up very often. But for a number of reasons, I think it would be good for us to get to know him better today. So who is he? Well, Nicodemus, first off, he's a Pharisee. He's an influential member of his Jewish society, and he sits on the Sanhedrin, the Hermosa Beach City Council of his day, arguing over disputes and making judgments. But Nicodemus is also curious about Jesus. He's trying to make up his mind about this guy who's been going around. We hear in John's Gospel that Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, in secret, if you will, so as to not cause alarm in his society. And perhaps he comes at night also because he's just not so sure himself. And this comes through with the questioning he has of Jesus with language of new birth from above and water and flesh and spirit. The main reason why we would all do well to know more about Nicodemus is because I believe he's us. Nicodemus is a metaphor, an example of how many, especially here in our Episcopal tradition, how many of us wrestle with and approach this Jesus. If we're honest, many of us, many in our world, approach Jesus with some degree of suspicion. We're just not so sure about this guy. Let me state unequivocally, that suspicion that intrigue and questioning, well, those are gifts. Gifts of the Spirit, gifts of our particular tradition. You could say we're particularly known for that in this Episcopal church of ours. We want people to know that their doubts are valid, that doubt is a part of a life of faith. And we're not afraid to see how new insights of science or other parts of modernity, how that might shift what we believe and what we say each Sunday. And yet, like anything, it can also become a stumbling block. We can get stuck, if you will. Now, I'm not talking about a season where faith is less secure or a time when tragedy hits and we naturally ask, why? Why, God, where are you? All of us have or will experience those times. What I'm speaking about is how any of us can get stuck in a suspicious posture about who Jesus is. And this might come through in a number of ways. For example, we might well sign on to the idea that Jesus was a really good person who taught excellent things about life and how we're supposed to treat one another. But in the process, we keep him at just a safe enough distance when it comes to a relationship of love and mutuality. For some, getting stuck may not be suspicion. It may be that there's no real expectation of a relationship in the first place, or that it would make much difference if we ever found one. Whatever it looks like, many of us, clergy and lay alike, can keep Jesus at a safe distance. And Nicodemus does much the same thing. He gets a bit stuck through these questions he gives to Jesus. And in contrast, Jesus very lovingly is talking on a whole different level. He's inviting Nicodemus into something more, something deeper. And in this story, Nicodemus is only able to operate at one level, the level of the literal. And Jesus is calling him to more than just that, to a place of depth that can only be found in the realm of metaphor, symbol, and mystery. Nicodemus is like us in this way too. So often we get stuck in the literal, stuck in the intellectualizing of our faith and life. We can get stuck with the profound question, how can these things be? And we just remain there. But like he does for Nicodemus, Jesus is always alongside us, lovingly inviting us, come and see. There's more. And getting stuck may not even be the best phrase for it. For this morning, Jesus also talks about this notion of the flesh and the spirit, which, if you've read the Bible or been to church for that long, you've heard a good bit about, especially in the writings of the Apostle Paul. And the flesh and the spirit is just a way of talking about what it means to be human. Because, surprise, surprise, we're a mixed up lot. We're always getting pulled in different directions at the same time. And often that can lead us astray. And it can also lead us towards joy and love and life. We're conflicted, contradictory, and often very hard to understand. And we're a mix ourselves of that literal and the metaphorical. And that's one reason why Jesus came. Jesus came to be one of us, the Word made flesh. But he came also to widen our perspective, to widen our love in which flesh and spirit are both present, and also present is so much more abundance. Jesus seems to be saying to Nicodemus and to us this morning that the key is not to stop. The key is to not get stuck, but to enter into more of a relationship with God that isn't at a safe distance. He came to show us the way, to go down deep enough where the literal and the metaphorical live in a dynamic relationship together. to God's very own Trinitarian life of love. A life of love that can't ever be grasped, but only experienced and loved in relationship. Some years ago, I was having a lot of trouble praying. It wasn't because of anything particularly tough going on in my life. That's certainly, when those times come, it certainly is also hard to pray. I imagine that's true for many of us. But I just didn't feel like there was much going on. Didn't feel like there was much going on the other side. And I remember saying this to a priest friend of mine, sort of coaxing her for some advice as a young seminarian. And she gave me a great gift that day, which I might want to impart to all of you. We had a conversation. Talking about prayer is a funny thing. It's not something you do every day. And talking about the mechanics can seem a bit odd. But I was describing to her some of the things I was talking about, sort of craving an experience of God being out there, trying to grasp after some validation that I wasn't crazy, all of those sorts of things. And she heard this and very gently listened and invited me to another way. She invited me to go and find a quiet place to settle myself as best I could. And instead of grasping after validation to perhaps prove God's existence and that God had any interest in me at all, she sort of invited me just to sit like this, to take a posture of acceptance, of inviting the Spirit to come, that God's own mysterious life was emanating toward me, pressing in on me so lovingly, desiring and beckoning me into relationship. That's what God's life and love look like and feel like, she said. And I can't explain that. I can't prove that. But it was true. Raise your hand if you've ever fallen in love. Well, whatever just came up in your mind's eye the last couple seconds, all of those feelings and memories and emotions, in all of its complexity, of course, that's the kind of love that's at the heart of God's own life. Trinitarian life, mysterious life. And that same sense of experience is what God begs for us to know, begs for us to be in relationship with, that place of depth and profundity. Because today is also about love. For God did so love the world, as we all famously know, that God's own came into the world to be one of us, to woo us into love and relationship. And that love has some power. In the words of the preacher from the royal wedding, our own presiding bishop, I'm talking about some real power, some real love. Love that is not sentimental only, but costly and real. It's a kind of love that can't be proven, can't be grasped, but only experienced, showed, and conveyed to us, and our call to convey that to everyone we meet. This kind of love can transform this old world into a new world. So we give thanks to Nicodemus for helping us see that today. May he teach us to listen, to question, and to follow Jesus into the heart of our loving, liberating, and life-giving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.